Meaning of the brachos in last week's parsha. Parsha's told us. We deal basically with two questions. Okay. The first question is simple question. The brachos were given with Ruach HaKadosh. We're given with Nevuah, Ruach HaKadosh. So that means that the brachos that were given, they could only be given to the appropriate individual if it was given with Ruach HaKadosh. So the simple question is, why did Yaakov have to intervene? Okay, why did Yaakov have to intervene? I mean, Rivka basically was the one that initiated the process. Why did she have to create the situation where Yaakov goes b'mirmah and with all kinds of fears and trepidation, in order to receive the brachos from Yitzchak? I mean, what would have happened if he wouldn't have done that? So what? So Esav would have come from his from the field with his matamim, and Yitzchak would sit down and taste the matamim, and Ruach HaKodesh wouldn't be sharolav. That's all. Simply. So what would have been? So what? So then he would have had to. Then he would have realized that Esav is not the one that's entitled to these brachas, and he would have given the brachas to Yaakov, and it would have been done in an honest fashion, and all the tainus of all the son of Yisrael would have been removed. Let's say that we stole the brachas. Okay, that's the first question. All right. Whereas what would have happened? I mean, that would be good. Gam Baruch, the pasuk says Gam Baruch Yia. It's an open pasuk. When Yitzchak, that's right. That's a Ramez. Yeah, by Yaakov Avinu. So Yosef Gilchem Esav Sheikra Eschem Bachas Yamin. So he never did it. So Rotzel Legalas Akeitz Nistalkin Men Ruach HaKadosh. So Ruach HaKadosh doesn't work when it's not appropriate. Even though the person thinks, the individual thinks that that he's going to be in a state of Ruach HaKadosh, if it's not appropriate, it doesn't work. Correct? Good raya, 100% raya. And you see, by Yitzchak, what did he say? Yitzchak said when Esav came, by Yechor Yitzchak Karod Gedolad Maod, Mi Eifa Batzayid Vayavli Vaochol Mikol, the Terem Tov Varachel Gam Baruch Yia. You see, he said it's too late. Gam Baruch Yia, because the brachos were given Ruach HaKadosh, and that's it. So even though he didn't want to accept such a thing, I mean, it was a terrible charada. Something which was in total opposition to his whole personality and his whole character. And it was the greatest fear he ever experienced, even greater than the Akedah. Nevertheless, he said Gam Baruch Yia because it was given Ruach HaKadosh. So it's an open pasuk, basically. It's an open pasuk. So what would have happened if Esav would have come? So basically, Ruach HaKodesh wouldn't be Shara. So then he would have realized that these brachas that he had were not for Esav, and they belonged to Yaakov. So he would have given it. Who else could it be? Only one son left. So he realized it was Yaakov, and that's it. So what would have been so terrible if it would have worked out that way? On the contrary, it would have been done in an honest way, and nobody would have any tainus to us, complaints against Yaakovina. You have to go around and answer the kasher for hundreds and hundreds of years, centuries and centuries, the same kasher. How could he lie, and how could he be deceitful? He wouldn't have had the kasher. Okay? Yeah, that's the first question. Okay? All right, the second question is a simple question. Question is, what's really the difference? What really is the difference between the brachas that Yaakov Avinu got and the brachas of Esav? And you see, the way the Torah records the brachas, they're almost the same. All right, that by Yaakov Avinu says Yitnu Chol Kimitalashmai Mishmanei Aretz, Verov Dogan V'Sirosh. Okay. And then, by the way, there are two components to the bracha. One component to the bracha is the individual insofar as he himself is concerned. Okay? And the other component is the individual vis-a-vis others. Okay? In other words, his social relations. The first one, the first pasuk is Yidlo Chol Kim Etash Ma'am Shmane Eretz Rav Dag Masirosh, is Yaakov himself, so far as he himself is concerned. Yavducha Amni Yishtachu Chol Uma Ve'gil Gvil Achecha Yishtachu Chol B'nei Mecha Arecha Orem V'Arachecha Baruch. That's the social bracha, so far as he relates to others. And Esav also, it's broken down into two components, but they're very similar. By Yaakov it says Yidlo Chol Kim Etash Ma'am Shmane Eretz. And by Esav it says, "Hini mishmana eretz yeh moshevecha mitalash shemayim me'ol." Okay, so left that Rav Dag Masirosh. But basically, it's in reverse the order: mishmana eretz umitalash shemayim me'ol. But basically, the same two components. Okay, in the second bracha, you see a difference in the social relation. The second component is different. But in the first component, which deals with Esav vis-a-vis Esav himself, okay, it's almost the same. I mean, it's almost the same. What really is the difference? Okay, and the difference has to be obviously a great difference. It can't be just be a slight differentiation. He doesn't have Rav Dag Masirosh, okay, but he has Mishmani Aretz Mitala Shemayim, just in the reverse order. Okay, so that's the second question. That's the second question. Okay. Yeah. This year is really a continuation based on the an earlier Ashir gave that I gave years ago on the brachas. What was the concept of that the bracha remained? I mean, I went through this before. I'm not gonna go through it again. When Esav said Avarocha Achas Lachoi Avi Barcheni Gamani Avi, so that was really the only thing he could do was really to take that which was left from the original bracha to qualify the original bracha. Okay, I'm not going to go through that again. I mean, that's the Shir's on tape, and we went through that before. I want to take up a new point. Okay. Yeah, I just want to mention, I think that the one that there's many mefarshim on the brachas. I think that the best mefarsh in the brachos is really the Pirush of Rav Avram ben Arama. The Pirush of Rav Avram ben Arama is very short, it's very concise, but I think it's the best Pirush on the brachas. Okay? Yeah. Also, there's another question. The question is, what is the Mitala Shemayim? What's Mitala Shemayim? I mean, what's the importance of the Tal? I mean, it's a side question. I mean, it should, like the Ramban mentions, if it meant that he'd have the Motar Be'ito, so he should have said that, like the Torah says, Satik Ishmechem Be'itom. He doesn't mention about that. He doesn't mention his Mitala Shemayim. What's the Tal? I mean, Chazal say the world can't live without Tal anyways. So if a person omits tal from the tefillah, it's still yetzer, because mutter is mutter is something which is dependent upon the person's chosin. But tal, the world can't exist without tal anyway. So what is the importance of tal? He doesn't mention anything about gishomet. Okay. He doesn't mention anything about the gishomet. That's another question. All right. Anyway, that question is a smaller question. Yeah. So, first of all, I just want to mention what the idea of bracha is. Just in general, what's the idea of bracha? Because we have a strange kind of a thing in halacha. I mean, a bracha, the way people understand the bracha, it's something of benefit to man. Something of benefit to man. Something good that the person wants. Good health. You should have financial stability. I mean, security. So it's something with which a person is looking for. That's a bracha. Okay, that's the way people understand the bracha. But we have a strange expression. We say Baruch Atah Hashem. So what does that mean? I mean, what does it mean that a person says Baruch Atah Hashem? I mean, God doesn't need anything. So how can we even enunciate such a phrase? I mean, bracha is something which is good for man. I mean, something a man needs. A person is in need of a bracha. But God is not in need of anything. So what does it mean when you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam? Yeah. The answer to that question, I mean, I just want to answer that question first. The answer to that question is that in Yahadus, bracha is always tied to one thing, and that is perfection. There's no such thing as a bracha that's an isolation. In other words, just a good, something which people consider a good. But the word bracha always means, or always tied to a person's perfection, because there's only one good, and the good is that the person should be able to live in a way which brings him perfection. If it doesn't bring him perfection, it's completely worthless. If it's just something which is tied to his fantasy and to his illusion of what is good, that has nothing whatsoever to do with bracha. In Yahadus, bracha is always tied to perfection. That's why in the shir, you know, that I mentioned, I'm not going to go over again, but v'yitmachol hakim v'tal shemayim v'shmani aretz, I mean, it's all tied to, that's what Chazal say, it's all tied to perfection. Tal Shemayim it's all tied to Tarsh Bechsav and Tarsh Baal Peh and Mishnah and Gemara and Medrash. It means to say that in our concept of bracha is always means that the person should be able to achieve perfection. That's the definition of the word bracha. Bracha really means, bracha means perfection, and perfection means the definition of perfection is closeness to God. Of course, the perfection of an individual is measured directly in terms of his distance or his closeness to God. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam explains that in the Maor Nevuchim, where he talks about the different people, and some people are outside the courtyard, and some people are inside the courtyard, and some people that are outside have their faces turned towards the courtyard, and some people outside have their faces turned away from the courtyard. It means to say, what it means to say really is that's really the definition of bracha is the individual's relationship, where he stands metaphysically, his metaphysical distance or closeness to God. That really is bracha. So that's why, basically, that's why actually when you mispal, you turn towards the Mikdash. You turn towards the Mikdash. Towards Yerushalayim, towards the Mikdash. That's really what the Rambam says in Maor Nevuchim, because the whole idea of tefillah is Omer L'fnei Hashem. It means your closeness to God. So the person's position, what the halacha did, the halacha implemented that idea in the person's position. He's facing the Mikdash, means he's facing the base of Mikdash, Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shechinah means that he's approaching God. He's like the Rambam says, the mashal in the courtyard. His face is towards the courtyard. It means he's closer. So the whole idea of tefillah, Amid L'fnei Hashem, represents that concept. So therefore, in the very position of the physical position of the person, is used in order to demonstrate the idea that he's Amid L'fnei Hashem means his metaphysical relationship to God, and Mikdash represents the makom ha-shechina, makom ha-shorah ha-shechina, v'aslo mikdash shechanta v'socham. So that's why tefillah demands that your position physically be, represent the idea that the Rambam mentions in the Morah of how you stand in relationship to God. But getting back to the idea of bracha, so since baruch really means, bracha means the person's metaphysical, his closeness to God, that's bracha. So that's why you say Baruch Atah Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem means that God is really the essence of perfection. The essence of perfection. And everything insofar as a person is in a state of bracha means he partakes of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the source of all bracha. That's really the meaning of Baruch Atah Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem would be impossible to say if our concept of bracha were not totally different from what the rest of the world's idea of a blessing is. So the word blessing really is inappropriate. The bracha has a very unique definition. It's tied to a whole metaphysical understanding of the whole philosophy and the whole hashkafas hayadus is tied up in that word of bracha. Sim shalom tova bracha. And then birchas kehanim, and the whole idea of bracha is really takes in the whole philosophy, the whole metaphysical structure of yahadus. So baruch atah Hashem means you are the ultimate source of all bracha and all perfection, and our bracha is only insofar as we partake, insofar as a human being can, of perfection, which means his closeness to the source of all bracha, his closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really meaning. It's tied to the whole idea that bracha is not what people think of when they say a blessing, something they got something good. It means a metaphysical good. And the source of metaphysical good is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's just the basic idea of what the word, what the concept of bracha really is. Okay. But now the idea of bracha is since we live in a physical world, in the Olam Hazeh is a physical world, so many things come into the picture insofar as a person is enabled to reach his metaphysical perfection, metaphysical good. Yeah, and that's where bracha comes in. But that's the idea, like I said, metaphysically in general. But in order to understand the brachas that Yaakov received, that Yitzchak gave, Yaakov received, so you have to understand it a little more in particular. Otherwise, I mean, you know, it's a nice idea in terms of the general scope of what bracha means. But the brachas that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov had a more specific meaning. So you have to understand a little more specifically what is meant. In order to understand that, I would say you have to make recourse to the Navi. And that's something which, unfortunately, Bezmanaz, I think, has been lost. And I always think of what they asked the Brisker Rav, I may have mentioned it before, they asked the Brisker Rav, why don't we study Tanakh today? I mean, by Tanakh, I mean in Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So the Brisker Rav said that in the Yeshivish world, you see, they don't study Tanakh. He says, the reason is because we don't understand it. Which means that in our door, I mean, it's a great loss. It's a very sad commentary. It means that we've lost the ability to go back to the Nevi'im, which really uncover ideas. You know, Chazal say that everything was given at Sinai. What does it mean, everything given at Sinai? The Navi didn't live till hundreds of years later. But it means every idea that the Navi expresses, really, if you understand it, it gives you insight into Chamish Chum Shatar. There's nothing new after Chamish Chum Shatar, El Advar. But unfortunately, we've lost that ability to really go to the Navi and uncover the ideas which really open up the Chamisha Chumshi Torah and are the greatest source of Musa. And you see that people, in order to learn Musa, they have to make recourse to Musa's far. But the words of the Navi, I mean, we don't understand, and because of that, we've lost a great source of information. But I'd just like to just demonstrate, first of all, how from the Navi you could really uncover Yesodos from the Chumash. Just give one example. Okay, In Amos you have the every Navi has a separate message. It gives a separate message. Okay? And that's why if you have Treyasa, it means to say if you really understand the uniqueness of each Navi and his message. Different message. Okay, different opens up a different dimension. almost starts off with the almost in Hosea, for instance. The main idea in Hosea is that Klal Yisroel was Moes Bedos. Now, Moes Bedos, but not simply in terms of dos, in terms of the the idea of a religion, but instead of dos, the word we really should use, another use, is das. It means to say he was pointing out the chait of Klal Yisroel, that chachma became something that's despicable, a das ma'aser. So that's the chait that Hosea really, the whole Hosea revolves around that. You take a look at the study of Hosea, it revolves around that idea. So now in almost is a little different. Almost is al shlosh, everybody knows from Haftara. Al shlosh pishe Yisroel al ba'al lo shiveno al mikram b'kesef tzadik ve'ev yom b'avon alayim. But if you take a look before in almost, you see he goes through the Averis of the other nations. It's not just the Averis of Klal Yisroel. The Navi doesn't restrict himself to Klal Yisroel. Of course, in Haftarah, you can't read the whole Navi. So Chazal chose the part that's tied to the Sedra, and that's most Nageya to us. But really, the Navi, take a look at the Navi in Amos. He mentions the other nations too. As a matter of fact, the beginning he starts off Divrei Amos, okay. Koma Hashem al shlosha pishei damesek v'labor lo shivenu al dusha machrutza bazel zagilot. Okay. Koma Hashem al shlosha pishei azor v'labor lo shivenu. Koma Hashem al shlosha pishei tzor v'labor lo shivenu. Koma Hashem al shlosha pishei edom v'labor lo shivenu. Okay, Kol Hashem al Shlosha Pishei Vnei Amon V'Labor Lo Hashivenu. Kol Hashem al Shlosha Pishei Moav V'Labor Lo Hashivenu. Okay, then it says Kol Hashem al Shlosha Pishei Yehuda V'Labor Lo Hashivenu Al Mosam Astaras Ad Hashem V'Chukov Lo Shemoru V'Yasum Kizveim Asher Holcho Avosim Achareya. Kol Hashem al Shlosha Pishei Yisrael V'Labor Lo Hashivenu Mechum Hakesef Tzadik V'Evim Bavon Alayim. Okay. So because the Navi really is showing you one of the things that the Navi teaches, one of the things is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, essentially Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Navi takes it into the scope the whole world, not just Klal Yisroel, because it's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is down the entire world. Okay, I mean, that's a small difference, but the primitive religions always had the idea of local gods. See that in Tanakh. You know, what does the pasuk say? The Elohei Nechar, the Zon Acharei Elohei Nechar Haaretz. Okay, Elohei Nechar Haaretz. So, but Yahadis, I mean, tried to bring to the world the idea that there's one Borei Olam, and he's Shofet Kol Haaretz. So the Navi, I mean, he's teaching Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just how God judges Klal Yisroel, but it's how God judges the whole world. Now the difference essentially, I'm not going to go through every single case over there, but the difference essentially between Al Shlosha Pishei Damesek or Moav or Amon, and when it comes to Klal Yisroel, if you look at it, there is a difference. And the difference is that the Avera that is, first of all, it's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God is a Savlon, that he, three Averis he allows to go by, but the fourth one where comes rooted in the individual, so then he steps in. Okay, that's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Ram mentions it in Hilchos Teshuvah. But insofar as the chait of the Umos HaOlam, if you study almost, you'll see the chait is benogeya to the fact that they don't recognize the Tzelem Alekim. And it's not so much that they went to war, it's not so much they pillaged, or they conquered. That apparently Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachamon and he didn't reach the point where he took them to task, but where they did things out of viciousness, al dusham b'charutzas a Basel, where they did things just out of viciousness and they became overcome by the instinctual and they failed to recognize the Tzelem Elokim in Adam. That was al abor lo hashivenu. But by Klal Yisrael, when the Navi comes to Klal Yisrael, it's different. He breaks up Klal Yisrael into Yehuda and Yisrael, and over there it's two things. One is Amoso Mestaras Ad Hashem, okay, that's the that's Pishe Yehuda. Pishe Yehuda Abba Hashem Amoso Mestaras Ad Hashem V'chuk Avlo Shemaru. And when it comes to Kamar Hashem Ashlosha Pishe Yisrael Abba Lashiveno Amichom Bakesef Tzadik Vevyom Bavur Na'alayim Hashofim Lafaretz Barosh Dalim V'yenanushim Yishtu. And the whole, it's basically corruption. It's an interesting thing. So when it comes to Klal Yisrael, it's broken up into two things. Mosom Mestaras Ad Hashem V'chukov, it means to say, because Klal Yisrael is more, the demand of Klal Yisrael is not simply the recognition of Tzalam Alekim. That everyone has to recognize. But in Klal Yisrael, it's the bris of Torah is binding to Klal Yisrael. So that's why he mentions that. Mosom Mestaras Ad Hashem, that's one. That's clear, that's simple, straight. But when it comes to Yisrael, it says, Balabor Lo Shiven Al Michom Bakesef Tzadik. So there he discusses the idea of corruption. The corruption of justice. So it's an interesting thing. When it comes to the Musa Olam, if you study the Chatoyim, the gross Chatoyim, vicious, I mean, sadistical, revengeful, I mean, horrible kinds of things that they did. And they failed to recognize, no Rachmanis for the Tzalam Alekim. I mean, that's really the chait that the Navi points out. But when it comes to Klal Yisrael, it's two things. It's bris, which is mosam, they failed to keep the bris, mosam, astar, sar, shem, eskukov. And the second thing is injustice. That's al shlosha pishi Yisrael abol Hashem al michom ba kesef tzadik ve'evyom ba'var na'olayim. But it's an interesting thing. When you think about it, the Navi didn't just come from nowhere. But basically it's a pasuk in the Torah, chamish chumshi Torah. Where's the pasuk? The pasuk is by Avraham Avinu, because it says, ki yedativ l'mana she'etzav ez bona ez beso achrov, v'shamru derech ad Hashem, laso sdoko mishpat, l'man hovi ad Hashem al Avraham, esa she'edibar alav. So what does the pasuk teach you? Teach an interesting thing. I gave a shiur, and I said, what is, the avos are really b'nei Noach. I mean, I'm not going according to other sheets. Plain sheet, I mean, Tesfis, the Rambam. Avos were b'nei Noach. That is status of b'nei Noach. But there was one thing that you see from the Torah Shebachsav, and that is that Avraham Avinu was the beginning of the Ummah. And those are psukim that are open in the Torah. And that's why the pasuk says that it was 430 years that the Jews were away from their land, because it counts from the time of the Bris Ben Absarim, 430 years. So the Ummah, Avram as an Ummah, had a din of an Ummah, and that's why he minted coins. We mentioned. I mean, it was an Ummah. They had the recognition of an Ummah. How many there were, I don't know. The Ram says there were hundreds of thousands. But the Rav one time mentioned, he doesn't know where the source is from. But whatever, however many it was an Ummah. And the Ummah began with Avraham Avinu. And the Ummah metaphysically began with Bris Ben Absalom. Okay, with that in the void. But now the Navi really uncovers, if you look into it, he uncovers something more than that. When you have an Ummah has to be dedicated to something. So the Klal Yisrael became an Ummah through Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. That's what made us into an Ummah. This Ummah is an Ummah only for one reason. Not based on the fact that we have different types of clothing or rites or ceremonies, or it's based upon one thing. That Atach of Shimcha Echad, Ubi Kamcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baretz, is based upon one thing, that this nation is a nation only through Tayag Mitzvahs and nothing else. That's the uniqueness of this people. Okay? But, you see, the Torah says there's something, the Navi is pointing out there's something more. What was there more? That Avraham Avinu was an Ummah. What was the Ummah before Matan Torah? The Ummah before Matan Torah, an Ummah has to be comprised of what unifies the people? What makes them unique? What made them unique was Ki Yedativ, Ramana Sheyetzavas, Bonavas, Beso Achra, Veshomer, Dech Hashem, Lasos, Tzedakah Mishpat. So the Ummah of Tzedakah Mishpat, it's an interesting thing, the Ummah of Tzedakah Mishpat really preceded the Ummah of Tayag Mitzvahs. And that you can derive from Amos, because you see, the Amos really broke up our Shlosha Pishe Yisrael, our Shlosha Pishe Yehuda. He broke it up into two things. When it came to Yehuda, he said, because the bris of Tayag Mitzvahs. When it came to Yisrael, what did they break? They broke Tzedakah Mishpat. Al Michom Bakesef Tzadik V'Evyom Bavon Alayim. And that wouldn't be a critique, klapei Yomos Olam. Yomos Olam were greedy, they were overcome with greed, that wouldn't be enough to put them out of business, you see, to bring them to task in terms of a serious mishpat. But with Klal Yisrael it is, because that's a breach in the whole underlying fabric of the Ummah, which is it's an Ummah of stuck on mishpat. So you see, it's an interesting thing. When you study the Navi, really, it breaks open ideas. I mean, that are really in Chamisha Chumash Torah, that are significant concepts, and that's why it means that Klal Yisrael can be brought to task for two reasons. Either because, excuse me, Dora Mabel, that's different. See, Tzedakah or Mishpat, you're right. You see, it's a good question. Insofar as Dor HaMabul is king, what it means is like this. In a sense, it's a comforting idea. Because, I mean, you know that we live in a society of corruption. It means to say that the fact that the society is corrupt, so it doesn't mean that God is going to is going to take America to task because there's so much corruption going on. Klal Yisrael, yes, but almost all of them, no. But Dor HaMabul is something else. Dor HaMabul means where the whole there's a total disintegration of the system. There's no more system anymore that you can live by. Kimola or it's chomos. That's impossible already. There's no more society, and everyone is just indulging in the nefesh of Bahami. Okay, that's something else. That means. Over there, it means that there's such a disintegration that they can't function as a society. Well, you can have societies that function, but they're corrupt. But they function. Okay. There's a lot of corruption going on in this country, but they function. They have a system that functions. Okay. But Klal Yisrael, but Klal Yisrael is different. Klal Yisrael, it means they're taken to task because they're not the Ummah that reflects Tzedakah Mishpat. Stuck on mishpat, okay, and certainly Dor HaMabul they weren't the exaggeration wasn't nechtam because they lacked in tzedakah. That's that wasn't enough. And chomos kimolor it's chomos mipneihem. That means the whole society disintegrated and they didn't even follow things which are rational in order to survive. That's a different kind of a level. That's Dor HaMabul. That's a different kind of exaggeration. But to bring an Ummah to task because they don't live up to a standard of Tzedakah or Mishpat, that's Klal Yisrael. That's Klal Yisrael. That's the difference. By Klal Yisrael, it was Al Shlosha Pishu Yisrael Al Abolo Shivenu Al Michum HaKesef Tzadik the Avion Bavon Alayim. Means to say the judges are corrupt. Ashoa Fim Al Afarad's Barosh Dalim. So what do? So they take the poor person that has no real significance in the society, so they express their greed, their greedy inclinations on this poor person. Does it destroy the whole system? No, because the system go on. I mean, a poor guy is not important. You overlook him, and the society goes on. But they recognize significant people. Okay, but that's a hate that God judges. Because of the chait, you see. Not because the whole system fell apart and it just can't function. Yes? And what I mean over there is that they fail to recognize the Tzelem Elohim in their adversary. In their adversaries. You take a look, that's what it means. It means in their adversaries, they have, for instance, one of the chatoim was that there was no, I think it was Edom, because they had no rachmanis whatsoever. In other words, they were bent on revenge, and they were going to have the revenge no matter what. And even if the adversary changed and had charata and was chos b'tshuva, there was no rachmanas. It means they had to express the revenge. You see, so there's no recognition in the adversary of tzelem alakim. That was the chait. That's the chait of the. That's the way. That's the way the chait is of the umos is you know, it brings into play God's judgment.
What
okay.
About,
okay. So that's why I said it's important. The Navi really opens up ideas that clarify certain aspects of extensions of Chamisha Chumash Torah. Now, it's an interesting thing. In the Navi, you have a concept of the Urim V'Tumim. The concept of the Urim V'Tumim. Now, what was the Urim V'Tumim? Interesting thing. The Urim V'Tumim, everybody knows you'd ask by the Urim V'Tumim, but it was a Nevuah. It was a Nevuah. But it's interesting that how it worked. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara brought us Dav Gimel on the base. The Gemara mentioned about David HaMelech that the famous Gemara Kino Yatoli Al Mitasar Shal David, and all night long he'd be learning Torah, saying Shiras HaShishbachos, and it says Kivin Shalom HaShachar Nichnusu Chachmei Yisrael Atzlo. So Chachmei Yisrael came to HaMelech, Omru Lo, they said Adonainu HaMelech Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Panasa. Okay, took him out of the realm of his personal involvement in Torah and Shiras HaShishbachos, and placed him in the role of his responsibility as a melech. Amalahem l'chu v'spanasu zemizeh. So he said, okay, so do panasa, among each other. Amru lo, ein hakometz masbias ari, v'ein habor mismalim l'chul yasa. Basically, we can't do it. It's not enough. Amalahem l'chu pishtu yideichem bigdud. So he said, okay, so he said, he says you have to have, we should go out to Melchemes HaRashus. Melchemes HaRashus. So the Gemara says, Miyad Yotzim Bachitofel, V'nimlochim B'Sanhedrin, V'sho'alim B'urim V'tumim. Alright? Mikra, or this Mikra, V'achre Achitofel B'nei Yoav Ben Yoyodo V'av Yosef V'asa Atzol V'amalach Yoav, Achitofel Zei Yoetz, V'cheinu Omer, V'atzas Achitofel Asher Yoetz B'yom Mohem, Kasher Yishalish B'varlikim, Benayo ben Yoyada ze Sanhedrin. Vev Yosar Elu Urim Vatumim, Vachaino Omo, Benayo ben Yoyada la Kresi la Placey, Vonlomer Gershon Kresi Placey, Kresi Shakarsen the Ram, Placey Shem Flon Bidavram. Vachkach Sa Tzavala Mavia. Okay, so basically, so there's one question over here. Question is, I understand Sanhedrin, you know, Sanhedrin is Aloha, that you understand, you can't do it as Sanhedrin, because it can't be as a Mechamas Rashur, so Aloha. But why do they have to have? There's one duplication there. What's the duplication? Achitofel and Urim V'Tumim. If you have, it says. As a matter of fact, it says why Achitofel was such a genius, a political genius, that asking him would be like asking Urim V'Tumim. That's what the pasuk says. Va'atzas Achitofel Asher Yoatz Bayom Mahim Kasheyishal Ish B'Dvar Olakim. So, Lamashach, if you have Achitofel, it's this Kashish, so you don't need Urim V'Tumim. You have the Urim V'Tumim, so what are you not Achitofel for? Okay? Yeah. So the answer is that the Urim V'Tumim, you see, Rashi says, V'sholim b'Urim V'Tumim, in Yatzlichu. Two words. That's all. In Yatzlichu. So apparently the only thing they asked by the Urim V'Tumim was, will we be matzliach or will we not be matzliach? Okay. But everything else, the Urim V'Tumim didn't answer. So the question is, the Urim V'Tumim said that they'll be matzliach. So what do you have to bother with Achitofel? What's the answer? The answer is because the Urim V'Tumim did not take away from the people, you see, the need to use chachma to the nth degree in everything a person does. That's simply der hachayim. God doesn't spare anybody from that. I mean, that's the gayim lahavdul, looking for some kind of existence where they can avoid everything. God just gives them everything and they lapse. In Yahadus, we don't have such a thing. In Yahadus, that a person, nobody is spared from that. Person, in order to exist in this world, in order to be successful in this world, must use chachma in every single respect of his life, in every aspect, and every careful analysis of every detail of every situation which he's confronted with. So that's why they asked Achitofel. Achitofel was the political genius. And it's true, Kasha Yishol Ish B'Dvar Lakim, that's what he was, his mind was so fantastic, it was so intelligent, that he knew exactly, precisely, and intuitively, logically, how to handle a situation. Yeah, but that's not Hatzlacha. Because you could be the greatest genius, and you could have the perfect plan, but since there are so many events that a person lives with that go on concurrently, Hatzlacha he can't guarantee. That's what Kehela says. Lola chacholim lechem. What does it mean, lola chacholim lechem? The lola nevonim osher? What it means is gamzo reisi. It means he can be the greatest chacholim, the greatest plan, but he's not going to, he'll still be starving. Why? Because it didn't work out. I mean, he's a big chacholim. But he can't control everything. He can't control all the events that surround him. So that's why it was necessary to have two things. It was necessary to have Achitofel, okay, and it was necessary, Achitofel was necessary because you had to have the proper strategy and the proper plan worked out logically, okay, politically, correctly, intuitively correct, and logically correct. But then, still in all, you don't know if you're going to be Matzliach, okay? So how do you know if you're going to be Matzliach? That's Nevoah. Urim V'tumim. Urim V'tumim told them, you'll be Matzliach. But of course, if they went out like fools, they wouldn't be Matzliach. They'll only be Matzliach. It means that the Nevoah told them that all the things, there's nothing contrary going on out there that's going to destroy you no matter what you do. Okay? That's not the case. You can be Matzliach. But of course, now it depends upon them to be able to work out with Chochmah exactly what to do. Okay? That's what the Navi teaches us. Okay. Yeah.
What about a case like Bark and
Devorah? Devorah
told Bark?
Say it again. What the Urim V'Tumim tells you is one thing. There's nothing. That's what I explained to you. That only a person that is small-minded, and I think this is something that a person gains with age. Kama hapataya v'alayo. When a person gets older, a person sees. When a person is younger, they just see a very small realm. When they get older, they see that there are so many events that go on that you could have a perfect plan, but the fact is there are other events. I mean, you could go. Why were we successful in Chama by Hanukkah? Hanukkah's coming up. Why were we successful? Those were 4,000 against 50,000. The odds were crazy odds. But why were we successful? Because at that time there was the Greeks had problems with Egypt. I think it was they had to split their efforts. So it was an extraneous event, you see, that came into play that allowed us to be successful. And the same thing's true in an individual's life. In individual's life, there are many events that are going on concurrently. You can't control those events. So you can have the perfect plan, yeah, but there's another hundred events going on, and those events can just destroy all you. Your plan can't be, only God's plan is a total plan. Man's plan is very limited, okay? Yeshiv Hashemayim Yischa. So that was the Urim V'Tumim. That was the bracha of the Urim V'Tumim. L'man lo niga lo rich, lo nele lebehola. What is niga lo rich? Nele lebehola means that you produce nonsense. But niga lo rich means that you work and you make a terrific plan, but it's lo rich because something else comes in and just pushes it out of its realm. Okay. So that was the bracha of the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim didn't take away from the people the need for careful planning. What it did was, it said there are no other events out there that are going to stop you if you apply your logic and your reasoning and your chachma. Okay? Or it could be that there is an event out there that will allow you to apply your reasoning and like the case of by Hanukkah, by the Mochama of Hanukkah. Okay? Nesa Mochama. So, either way, but it's the same idea. Namely, that the external events outside this realm you don't have to be concerned about. But the internal, insofar as you can see, that's where you have to be involved and engaged in perfect planning. If you don't, of course, you're going to fail. Okay? Yes?
So the external events, it wasn't, in other words.
Well, Hanukkah was. Hanukkah, there had to be, if they really put all their efforts against us, they would have destroyed us. Okay, but they were split up. Something happened. They had to go fight somewhere else. But the, but not always. Sometimes the Derech Olam is that there's nothing in opposition. All the Ovatum, that's all the Ovatum said. Whether it was through Ashgacha, whether it was just naturally that way, the Ovatum, I don't believe, told them that. I mean, I don't see what the purpose would be. But the, just told them whether they will, whether they can succeed if they act properly. So, but it was b'chol drachav maskil, b'chol drachav, everything, every aspect of his life was totally under the rule of chachma. Okay, that's very good. So you're saying that the plan has to be first. Yeah, but that's the Gemara's perfect. Miyab nimlochem, what is it, b'achitofel, sanhedrin, achitofel, and then Yom Tov's last. Okay, good. So basically, that really explains where bracha comes in. Because what is bracha? What is bracha? Bracha is not something which takes away from man his need. His need, you see, to confront reality, to interact with reality in a way of chachman, planning and everything. I mean, like the Avos did, especially the way the Torah describes Yaakov Avinu, the troubles he went through and everything he did with Chachma in order to be successful. You see, the bracha doesn't take that away. All the bracha does is the bracha is with regard to the other areas. See, with regard to the other areas that are not under the individual's, out of the realm of individual knowledge, those are the areas where bracha really takes place. Okay? Because otherwise you're going to have a conflict between bracha and between Bechira Chafshis. Because Bechira Chafshis means that a person has to, the whole philosophy of Yadus, a person has to accept this existence. This existence is an existence of cause and effect in terms of the politically, I mean. Okay, that's all about that. So the bracha doesn't take that away. The bracha just deals with those areas which are outside the realm of that. And man cannot control, you see, and that's where the bracha comes in. Okay? Yeah. So now let's go back. Now I think we have an understanding, an understanding of bracha which gives us a more detailed dimension than before. Before just making generally, at least to perfection, that's correct. But in specific, what does it do? In specific, the bracha really deals with realms of activity that are outside man's purview. Okay, outside man's realm in which man can perceive. Okay, yeah. But there's an interesting thing about a bracha. See, let me just go a little more into it. Interesting thing about a bracha, like you have brachas by Yaakov, right? Okay, so he couldn't say Achazam, but he gave the brachas, right? Now it's interesting. Some of those brachas don't seem like brachas at all. I mean, I would think they're almost like koalas. I mean, for instance, let's take the first one: Ruvain Bechoriato, Kochi Vireishisoni, Yeser Seis VYeser Oz. Okay, that's very nice. Okay, but it turns out that was only in potential. Kochi veracious only yeses ace v'yeser oz means for you were right to have yeses ace v'yeser oz. You were supposed to have all the brachas, you were supposed to be the b'chor. But, right, okay. Pachas kamayim altosa. Ki alisa mishkivei avichos chilalta yitzu yola. Okay, it means it was taken away from you. What kind of brach is that? That sounds like a brach. Okay. But it is a brach. It is a brach. Why? I'll tell you what. Because the truth of the matter is that a person thinks he knows a lot more than he does. A person thinks, when he thinks of external events, he thinks usually of events that would stop him from doing what he would want to do. Okay? I mean, let's say, for instance, if he's a melech, so he would like to conquer, have certain conquests. Okay. Or let's say the person would like to become a melech. Okay. So it would seem that that's, and a melech, I don't necessarily mean a melech Yisrael, but I mean malchus in general. There's a big malchus and a small malchus. I mean, everybody's looking for malchus. Malchus is a mitzvah. But sometimes it's not good for an individual to be a melech, to employ the medium of malchus. It's just, he's not going to be successful at it, you see. It's not gonna work for him. It's not gonna work for him in terms of his, perhaps in terms of his personality, perhaps in terms of the interaction, perhaps in terms of his functioning in a certain capacity, in a certain role. That role may not be appropriate for him. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, people think that they decide for themselves which role in life is the best role. Usually it's a role, I mean, the average person, it's a role which involves a certain amount of power, I mean, a certain amount of power, control, security, all these various things which people consider to be good, okay? But a person is a balgaiva, and a person thinks he knows these things. But sometimes, if a person would look at his life, he would see that had he really lived a quieter life, he would have been much better off. And he's not striven for certain types of positions. He looks back in retrospect, and now you can see, you read, you study biographies, you see that many people would have been much better off if they wouldn't have gone for certain types of roles in life, certain positions. They thought that was the right thing to do, but in the end it turned out that if they would have withdrawn from that desire and they would have chosen a different kind of life, in the end he would have had a much better life. It's very difficult for a person to know, to choose which kind of a life is really best for them. You know, you think that the life that has the most coveted, the most money, the most fame, everybody thinks instinctively and totally that that's the better life. But the fact is, if you really study life, you see, that's not necessarily true. Not necessarily true. Okay? I mean, there's one writer, I forgot who it was, who was the beginning of the novelist, but in the beginning of the book, I think it's one of the classics, I forget which one it was, where he writes that he told his son not to choose the high-style life. He said, take a simple life, you know, in his opinion, that would be the best thing for best type of life for a son, where he would attain the most happiness overall. Okay, so it's somewhat of a chacham. So that it's not just a simple thing to choose a role in life. But on the other hand, sometimes a person chooses a simple life, and that's not either good. That's not good for him either. It doesn't necessarily mean that the simple life is always better. Okay, it depends. This depends on a lot of details which is unknown to the person. Sometimes on the contrary, sometimes a person's life is better if he takes control. If he doesn't take control, he could suffer at the hands of others. So it's very difficult to know really which role a person should choose in terms of the unfolding of events that take place in the individual's life. Which path to choose? Very, very difficult. So sometimes a person wants to learn, for instance. A person wants to learn. So should he be a Rebbe? Be a Rebbe, you know, a simple life. Or what if a position opens up where he could be a Rosh Hashiva of the principal of the school? So that's a question. Who knows? I mean, on the one hand, if he remains a Rebbe, maybe he'll be learning Torah all his life, won't have any aggravation, he'll have a wonderful life. On the other hand, how does he know who's going to be on top of him? The person on top of him can make him miserable. Yet a person on top of him doesn't isn't a perfected individual. For some reason, can be a sone and take after him and make his whole life miserable, right? So then he would be better off if he took control. I mean, it's very difficult for a person to know in life which role is the best one. If a person is a chacham and is looking for emes and Torah and chachma in his life, it's very difficult to know which role is the best one for him. Okay? So basically, what I want to say is that's what the brachas are. See, the brachas really tell the person through Ruach HaKodesh what their role is. And that's a bracha. Ruvain Bechoriator. Kochi Rishisoni Yeser Seis V'Yeser Oz. It could have been that that would have been the right role for you. But no. Pachas Kamayim Altosa, Kialiso, Mishkevei Avichos, Chilalta Yitzui Olo. Now that's not the role for you. Not going to work. And if you try to attain that role and place yourself in that position, you're going to meet with disaster. So really, the bracha, that's the bracha. The bracha was a guideline. It gave the individual direction in so far as the which role to take in life. That's something which a person can't know. How could a person know such a thing? I mean, that's why a bracha had to be given with Ruach HaKodesh. Because Ruach HaKodesh really was the thing that determined for the individual, you see, what kind of a life the person would be most successful at. In terms of what? In terms of achieving what? In terms of achieving emes and Torah and chokhma and everything that is the good in this existence and in the next existence. Okay, because that's the definition of bracha. Okay, but bracha is totally in the way a person lives in Olam Hazeh. And in order to know what is the best way to achieve the ultimate good, the metaphysical good, you have to deal with the physical good. And the physical good, a person doesn't know, and they're different positions. What should he do? What role should he assume in life? Should he be a Nechbel HaKelim, or should he be a Melech Yisrael? Okay, Shaul HaMelech, really, what did he want to be? He wanted to be a Nechbel HaKelim. He didn't want to be a Melech Yisrael. He ran away from it. Turned out he was thrown into Malucha. He had a lot of problems. Would he have been better off as a Nechbel HaKelim? I don't know. But the fact is that the Hashgacha threw him into the Malucha, and that was his life. And all the difficulties that he had in his life, and the pains and the tragedies that he went through, was because he was thrown into the situation of Malchus. If he would have remained in Nechbel HaKelim, he never would have had these kind of problems. Okay? So you see, that's what I'm trying to show you, is that the role that a person chooses, or that a person is thrown into in life, really places him in a certain situation which is going to affect ultimately what his achievements are going to be in terms of emes and Torah and chokhma and perfection and good and the ultimate good. Okay? And that's where bracha comes in. That's the unique schus that we have, that through Nevuah, you see, we could know through Nevuah what role to choose. That's an unbelievable bracha. Unbelievable bracha. Yes. What it means is that the individuals carved out for themselves certain things which would affect the future generations. Well, that's a separate thing. I'm not going to explain that. In other words, Yehuda ata yiducha achecha. Yehuda was lo yosu shevim Yehuda, mechug ben reglav. Yehuda, that was the proper position for Yehuda. And that was David HaMelech came from Yehuda. And when the Chashmonoim decided that the other way should be, that the Kehanim should take over, it was a Chorban. It's not going to work. You see? That's exactly what the brachas are. That the person should know what their role is. Okay? That's how it works from the earlier generations, how it affects the later generations, that's a separate parsha. But that's what the Torah tells us. So you see, so actually by Yaakov Avinu, you see, Yaakov, on the contrary, was an Ishtam Yosheva Holim. He didn't want these type of things. But the bracha that was given to him went against his nature. Yavducha Amim v'yishtachvu l'cho le'umim. Heve gvir l'achecha v'yishtachvu l'cho b'nei imecha was not really something that was not natural for his personality. You see? But Yitzchak told him through Ruach HaKodesh, that's what he has to do. He will only be able to achieve the best situation for himself in order to attain the real brachas if he throws himself into that role. He has to know that's the role. That was the good of the bracha, you see. The good of the bracha was it gave him absolute guidance in terms of which role is the proper role for him to assume in order to achieve the ultimate good, you see. And whether he liked it or not, it was against his nature, didn't matter. But this is, at least he knew what he has to do. Okay? So, what?
Can you clarify
There's no question about it. There were people that could have been mamish gedolei Yisrael, and because of certain political situations that they had to, that they got involved and they lost it, and they were very unhappy and miserable personally in their lives, and it caused their personal demise even. I mean, downfall, complete downfall. It's a very difficult thing to know. That's a bracha. Bracha is where a person knows, and you can be a big chacham, the biggest chacham in foreign. It's just something you can't know. Yeah, by Shalom Melech, I mean, that's the way it was supposed to be. And through that, in spite of the personal difficulties and tragedies that he faced, but ultimately, it was that was the best way for him in terms of what he accomplished in Kol Yisrael. I mean, that only God could know such a thing. I mean, you can't an individual can't know. That's why you must have it. That's why a person must have a bracha. Sim Shalom Tovah Bracha. I mean, you must. That's why Kol Yisrael demands, really, Birkas Hashem. You must have it, because without that, you're lost. I don't care how great your chachma is, and I don't care. You could be like Achitofel hung himself. So ultimately, it's all the Yad Hashem. So that's the necessity of bracha. So when Yaakov received the bracha, that he was supposed to be in command, wasn't that he wanted that role. That was the role that he would be successful at. And if he didn't do that, then that's it. They'd lose it. He'd lose out in terms of everything. In terms of ultimately Olam Haba. Okay. What's the whole purpose of the Melech HaMashiach? It says in Navi Gadol Yiakarv LeMoshe Rabbeinu. I mean, well, why are we looking for that? Because through that, a person will be able to know both in terms socially as a nation and also individually. What the person's role? What role the person should choose? Yes. So you see that Yitzchak really didn't want to give these brachas to Yaakov. Why? Because Yitzchak thought that Esau was not really a Rasha. So he thought, on the contrary, and as I mentioned in the original shiur, that he thought that the division should take place as follows. That let Esau worry about the financial and all the and all the necessities that you need for the physical backdrop that's necessary in order to be involved in the metaphysical, okay? Because he's a good person and he's the best one to do it. He's the Tzad Tzayed. He's the conqueror. He knows it's his nature. He knows how to do these things. Let him do that and let him support Yaakov. Yaakov shouldn't be involved in that. Ishtom Yeshiva Holim. So you see that his idea of the roles, Yitzchak's idea of the roles, were reversed. Okay? But in his mind, that would have been the biggest bracha for Yaakov, not to be bothered with this. Okay? But the Hashgacha saw it differently. That's not going to work. Because if Esav is in control of the physical, there's not going to be any metaphysical. That's the way it is. So the Hashgacha saw deeper than Yitzchak Avinu saw. And that's the whole idea of the brachas. The roles. Which role? So Yitzchak thought, he knew he had the bracha, and he thought that's the appropriate bracha for Esav. But the fact is, he was mistaken. Okay? Yeah. So now, the first question we asked, you see, is answered. The first question is, what would have happened if what? If, you understand, what would have happened if Yaakov would not have gotten involved in deceiving Yitzchak? Okay? So what would happen? So Esav would come back with the matamim, and Yitzchak would try to put himself in a state where Ruach HaKodesh, where Nevuah should be sure all of. Okay? He would try to do that, but it wouldn't work. Okay, so what would happen? So what happened is there would be no brachas. That's what happened. There would be no brachas. So what if there's no brachas? Esav would never get the brachas. It's impossible, because it's Ruach HaKodesh. Gam Barchia. Esav can never receive those brachas. But Yaakov wouldn't have had the brachas. And if he wouldn't have had the brachas, then he wouldn't have known what to do. He wouldn't have had the guidance of the brachas to know exactly what his role is and how he should, in this existence, what role he should play. And what surah, what kind of a life he should try to achieve, you see. That would have been the catastrophe. So, So you tell me, so why couldn't Yitzchak, why wouldn't Yitzchak, if that were the case, well, this is to say, okay, so Yitzchak would have seen it's not going with Esav, so he'll give it to Yaakov. Now, but you see, you have to understand. No, I'm saying, because it wouldn't work. It would, in this tomorrow, like Rabbi Meir mentioned, by Yaakov Inan, in this tomorrow, ain't of it. It's a Sokim Menorach HaKadosh. He couldn't go. It wouldn't work. Esav can never get these brachas. Impossible. Okay, Gam Barchia means Ruch Kadosh. So then he should have realized that what? He should have realized that it goes to Yaakov. So then, okay, so why am I saying that there would have been no brachas for Yaakov? Why wouldn't he have realized and then he'll change gears and give it to Yaakov? The answer is because Nevuah doesn't work that way. And that's what the Torah is trying to tell you. You see the way the Torah elaborates on the Matamim, Vavili, Tzayid, this whole prelude to the brachas. The Torah elaborates a lot on that, okay? Rivka said to Yaakov, and he said, "Avili tzayid b'vort v'archein nafshi b'vort v'archein nafshi b'tarim amos," and all with the tzayid and the vayavol yayin vayesh, the whole elaborate all these preparations. What are all these preparations? So all these preparations are based on a principle of nevuah, namely that nevuah is only sure on a person when he's in a certain emotional state of mind. Okay, it's not just that the person has to be a great tzaddik, but the person has to be in a certain state of mind is necessary for nevuah. Okay, why we don't know, we don't understand it, we don't understand why, but that's a fact. Okay, that's why it says by Yaakov Avinu for 22 years, no Ruach HaKodesh, because he was Mesabel on Yosef. Okay, person in a state of avelus cannot have Ruach HaKodesh. Now the pasuk explains that's why not only Yitzchak was a happy person, but it wasn't enough to be happy. He had to be in a certain state of mind. Vavili matamim. What exactly? I'm not going to go into the details of what. There are many, many things here. I mean, it's not just the matamim, but it was also a certain. Obviously, it was a certain state of mind of Yitzchak vis-a-vis Esav. I mean, there's what I call, there's no Einlach Parsha B'Torah Shein Tchis HaMesim, because it was very deep, but I mean on the surface, just dealing with on the surface, he had to have that state of mind. Now what does the Pasuk say? Vayechara, the moment that Esav walked in, Vayehikash Akilo Yitzchak Lavarech says Yaakov, and Vayehine Yotzo Yaakov Mipnei Yitzchak Ovev Esav Ochev Bomitzedo, what happened? Vayechara Yitzchak Charad Gedolad Maod. Was the worst fear he ever had in his life when he had the realization that Esau was a Russia. That from him, he produced a Russia. That was the worst thing that could happen to him. So what the Torah is pointing out is that if Yitzchak would have seen the brachas don't go with Esau, to be no brachas for Yaakov. That would have been it. Because he would never have Ruach HaKodesh anymore. You see? As a matter of fact, that says the best pirush of the brachas, in my opinion, is Rabbi Ramban Aram. Ramban Aram says that the timing was precise. Vayehi kasher kilo Yitzchak levarachas Yaakov, and you see the pasuk yotzo Yaakov and Esav achiv b'mitzedo. What is the pasuk telling you? Perfect timing had to be precisely that way. Why? Because if Esav walked in 1 second before, then gone. Because if that charada would have taken place before, there would be no brachas. And that's what the pasuk explains with the matamim and all that.
It's very good that Yitzchak's bracha to Esau was not really a bracha.
Okay, we'll get that in a second. Okay. So therefore, that's why Rivka with her chachma, and really it wasn't just chachma, it was there was some nevuah also involved. I mean, as I say, olai kilascha b'nei, olai yasama b'nevuah. So it means that she saw with her chachma. That's why she said, "This is the moment. You must." She told Yaakov, "There's only one thing you could do here. You have to go in there and be Esav. You have to make believe you're Esav." Why? Because your father's state of mind will never be towards you the way he is towards Esav, which he thinks in his mind, his impression of what Esav is. So he had to capture that moment, you see, where Yitzchak thought he was relating to Esav in order that he should be in that state of mind where Ruach HaKodesh will be sure. That's what she knew. And she knew that this is it. If you don't do it now, it'll never happen again. Because once Yitzchak realizes this, he's not going to be able to recover. And he'll never be in a state of mind where he can give you those brachas. That was her chacham. That obviously it has to do, Alei Asamba Nevuah has to do with the original Nevuah. Alei Asamba goes, it says, Atel Kudush Hashem, Vyamar Hashem Lo, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, she knew that, he didn't know that. Okay. Lo Malom Yamatz, Ravi Yamatz. So the, so.
He didn't want to change his perception of his position.
That's correct, yeah. That's right. So that's why that was the only moment that this could have taken place. The only moment. The split second. As soon as Asa walked in, that was gone. He could live with it, he could accept it, he got over the charad, they didn't say, but he could never get in that state of mind where he would want to give the brachas to Yaakov. Impossible. So the Ruach HaKodesh of that bracha would have been gone. It's an interesting thing. Yeah. All the elaboration, it shows a certain, it's depicting a certain state of mind that was just perfect for him to have the Ruach HaKodesh. Yes. You could sense, that's right, David is right. You could sense in the psuk, and there's a certain panic that she had. This is the last opportunity. You must do this. It will be gone forever if you don't do it. Yes. Yeah, the metaphysical bracha, Birkas Avraham, that of course, Yitzchak, that's what he points out, the Hemek Dover. Right, the Hemek Dover, that's right, 100% right. That he always knew, the metaphysical bracha. Each time Yeshua Holam, I mean, he's not going to give it to the guy that's running out in the field, the warrior. I mean, that's the hunter. It doesn't belong to him, but the second bracha, the bracha that he gave to Esau was also Ruach HaKodesh. It was also, I just want to tell you, I mean, but the second, it's an interesting thing, the second bracha was also Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Avraham ben Aram says an unbelievable pshat there. He says that the second that he says that if you take a look in the psukim, he says that what brought about that Ruach HaKodesh. It's an interesting thing. I'm not saying it answers all the questions, but he's hitting on something which demands a little more than what he just alludes to. It's a lot deeper. I don't know, I'm not going to go into it, but I'm just saying, I think it's an important point I want to mention, where he says that, it says, Vayitzak, Kishmo Esav Zdivar Yavah Yitzak Tz'oka Gedolo Mora Ad Ma'od. Okay? Then Vayom Ha'bochich B'mirma V'ikach B'chasecha. Of course, why did he say Bochich B'mirma V'ikach B'chasecha was, on the surface, says, what did he do that for? It was jeopardizing Yaakov. But the answer is because Yitzchak knew it was more important that he shouldn't jeopardize his relationship with Esau. So I wanted to show him that he had nothing to do with me. Okay. Vayama achikar shmo Yaakov vayakveni zef hamayim es b'chorosi lokach v'inayata lokach b'chosi. Okay. So that was an anger. So Ram and Ram says the first one was a tzaka gedol, was an anger. Morad ma'od. He was bitter, angry. He says, but then he says, vayama halo atzalti li bracha. You see? So he says there, he said, and then he said again, Avarocha achas hilocho avi borchini gam oni avi. He said, and it says, Vayisa Esav kol vayevk. So Avraham ben Aram says that was a sincere request.
What?
Sincere request. See, Esav wasn't such a simpleton. He wasn't just a person of hatred, but he had a very high, he was on a high madriga too. He was on a high level too. You see, he was able to push away all his anger and all his hatred. It's an amazing thing. You think about Esau, you know, it's like a Avraham Cutler's nuts also. You think of Esau of Russia, he was an evil person. He was raised in the house of Yitzchak, and his grandfather was Avraham Avinu, so you can understand he wasn't a simpleton. And here you see his godless. That is, in the midst of his anger and his hatred for Yaakov, where later he says, I'll wait, Yikruvi me evil avi, Vahargas Yaakov achi. But at that moment where you think he'd be totally overcome, he was able to push away all the anger and just look at reality. What's the reality? The reality is, I'm going to lose a bracha here. So he forgot about that whole thing. and he just said Avrocha Chasi Lecha Avi Barcheni Gamoni Avi, it was a sincere request, and he forgot about everything else. He just wanted to make sure that he gets the bracha. He gets something. He says the way Rav Rona runs is, said it can't be. He says that you have two sons. It can't be you are going to give everything to one and nothing to the other. So he says, so at least, he says, he didn't even say he gave up. He's not going to be as great as him, but at least let me have what I should have, something. That's an amazing level. Because an ordinary person would just be so overcome with hatred and disgust and anger, he'd just walk out of the room and just say, okay, I'm going to kill him, and that's it. But you see, he knew that there's a bracha here, and there's something in reality. It's less than him, so I won't be bigger. So he'll be bigger than me. But I'm not going to forfeit what I can get. I'm not going to forfeit. Most people in their hatred and their anger, they're so destructive that they destroy themselves. I mean, they don't even want. It's not worth it anymore. I don't want anything. This is the case. I just want to destroy him. But you see, Esav wasn't that way. He was a chacham. He saw that this is okay. I lost out big. But the fact is, I'm not going to lose everything. There must have been something. He said, there must have been something that you had for your other son in terms of the material. Let me have that. So Rav Avraham Ben Aram says, because of that, Ruach HaKodesh was Shor Olav. Because of that, Ruach HaKodesh. Because of the Ruach HaKodesh, the second Ruach HaKodesh was brought about because of the sincerity of Esav, the way he approached Yitzchak. So that put him in a certain frame of mind because he saw that he wasn't completely corrupt. You see, he wasn't completely a Russian, and that caused the second Ruach HaKodesh to be Shara. It's an interesting thing, it's an amazing insight. Amazing insight. So it was a different Ruach HaKodesh. It was a different Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, but it was Ruach HaKodesh. I just want to point that out to you. Okay, now I just want to get to the second question that we raise, which is, what's the difference between the first bracha and the second bracha? Okay, the difference is as follows. You see, it's obvious. It's pretty obvious that the Torah is concealing something. It's obvious the Torah is telling you that there's something deeper here. Otherwise, it would have been written two different brachas. They're almost the same. It's obvious that the Torah is saying over here that you have to look into this carefully to understand the difference. But the difference is in two respects. If you take a look at the wording of the bracha, three respects, actually. First of all, the main difference. What's the main difference? The main difference is one is v'yitn l'cho ha'lekin, and the other one is hine. By Esav, it's hine, mishmane ya'aretz yemoshevecho mitalashmai me'ol. By Yaakov, it's v'yitin l'cho alekin. That's the essential difference. I'll explain to you in a minute what the difference is. The second difference is the reversal. Mitalashmayim over here is first, and over there mishmane yaretz is first. And the third difference is the rov dog of Asirosh. He doesn't give Esav the rov dog of Asirosh. The question, why not? I think there's one answer for the questions. The answer is as follows. There are two types of brachas, you see. In one type of bracha, it's a wholesale giving. In other words, God gives a person something, he got it. He gives him something. Whether it's osher, nechosim, chachma, I mean, whatever it is, it's a wholesale nesina. One nesina. Okay, but there's another kind of nesina, and the other kind of nesina is the true matas alekin, and that nesina is that he's constantly related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's constantly under the hashgacha. See, the first bracha was v'yitin l'cho alekin mital hashemayim mishmanei aretz. It means the hashgacha will always be with you. You'll constantly have, and that's why Tal is mentioned. Because Tal, there's always do, but the Tal, when it's perfect, That's the area of really of perfection. A little better is not something that's going to be a major difference, but the ashgacha is always to alter to perfection. So v'yitin l'chol akim mital ha-shamayim, that means everything should be under the ashgacha. Under the ashgacha, everything's perfect. So the tal falls perfectly. Every drop is predestined. That's the way it should be. That's perfection. That's v'yitin l'chol akim mital ha-shamayim ishmanei aretz. So the original bracha wasn't a wholesale giving, you see. It was constantly to be under the ashgacha. That was the bracha. And that's why it's rov dovan v'sirosh. Because it means the earth will produce more than it usually does. See, that requires constant ashgacha. That can't be a one-time nesina. Give a person one time nesina, you can give them X barrels of produce. But you can't give them every year that, you understand, you can't get that the earth should produce more than it usually does. That's ashgacha. That's constant ashgacha. That's why there's no rov dovan v'sirosh be'ezav. But what do you say be'ezav? Hine. Hine means this is the way it'll be. It's a wholesale nesina, a one-time nesina. What's the one-time nesina? You'll have mishmanei aretz. You'll have the best land. Okay. What does Rashi say mishmanei aretz? Zu Italia shall Yavon. Italy. He says why does Rashi say over there? He says Zu Italia shall Yavon. The first pasuk doesn't say where it is. Doesn't identify it, right? The answer is when he says V'yitn l'chol akim mital ha-shamayim u'mishmanei aretz, there was no need to identify which land, because it meant it'll be under the ashgacha. So wherever, what's the difference? Wherever it is. Okay, it's going to be the best piece of property, land, in order to make it productive, the most productive way. But he named Shmanei Haaretz Yemoshevecha. Rashi identifies it Zu Italia Shel Yavan. That's what Rashi's telling you. It's a wholesale nesina. You'll have a wonderful piece of land. I mean, Italy, beautiful land for growing crops. Okay, a climate, wonderful climate. You see, Umital Hashemayim Me'ol is different than the Yitn L'chol HaLekim Mital Hashemayim. Because Mital Hashemayim Me'ol means, Hinei Mishmanei Or. See, when you're talking to the person, you're saying, I'm going to give you a nice, something good, a good place to be. What do you say? You don't say, I'm going to give you a towel. So I'll give you the land, that's the essence. And the land is related to the climate. And it's under the best climate. It's under the Tal Hashemayim. You see? That's what it means. Hinei Mishmanei Or. Siyem HaShevecha. Give you a beautiful piece of land, we tell Hashemayim Me'ol, and that piece of land is in a position where it receives the brachas of the heavens. Okay? But when you're speaking about the Ashgacha, you see, in the Ashgacha, it's the reverse order. Mital Hashemayim is the first thing in Ashgacha. Because that's the land is fixed, you see. The Tal Hashemayim is not fixed. The land is fixed, piece of land. Zui Tal Hashemayim, that's going to stay there. Nothing's changing. But the Tal Hashemayim that's why the Torah says, V'nasati Gishmechem Be'itom, is because that's constantly changing. That you need for that you always need the constant Ashgacha. So what is the thing that's really under the Ashgacha more than anything else? Is the Tal Hashemayim, more than the Mishmanei Aretz. Okay? So that's why in the Yidn L'chol Akim, Mital Hashemayim is first. And that's why all the brachas in the Torah about the Geshem and about the Rim Tar Hashemayim, Tishtamayim, Hashem L'kecho Bo Me'reshis Shonu V'yadach Hashonu, all those times the Torah repeats again and again and again. Why? Because that element is the one element that's constantly changing, always under the Ashgacha. So that's why if you're speaking in the realm of Ashgacha, you see, the first thing which is under the Ashgacha the most is Mital Hashemayim. Even the whole Kimi Tal Hashemayim. Okay, then Mishmanei Aretz. Okay, but that's more of a fixed property. Rav Dagan V'Sirosh. That's a particular in how the Shmanei or Mishmanei Aretz be productive. That is the differentiation between the two. The Yitn L'chol, essentially, is the Yitn L'chol Akim and the Hine. Hine is, that's the way it's going to be. Hine, Mishmanei Aretz, Yem HaShevecha, Mital Hashemayim Me'ol. That's the difference. And that was the Harada. The Harada was because Yitzchak thought that Esav could live in constantly under the Ashgacha. That's what he thought. He had that opinion of him. He thought that he wasn't a person that was a big spend the most of his day thinking. He wasn't That's not the type of person he was. But he was a tzaddik. Be a tzaddik, he's not the biggest Talmud Chacham, but he's still a tzaddik. He could still live under the Ashgacha constantly. That's what he thought. But then when he saw that that's not true, that was the Charada Gadola. So then he said, okay, that's true. You can't live in such close proximity, that kind of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you'll have a good land. It'll be under the proper climatic conditions to be productive. But no Rav Dagon V'Sirosh, because Rav Dagon V'Sirosh is an expression of the constant productivity. Rav Dagon V'Sirosh is basically what? There's another pasuk that explains Rav Dagon V'Sirosh. That's the pasuk that says by the bracha in Bahar. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that Nesati Bechosi Lachem V'Osas Asatvua L'Shlosh Hashanim. Right? There's another pasuk I'm thinking. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that the Hisig Lachem Daish Es Botzer V'Otzer Yasig Es Zora V'Chaltem Lachem V'Osovu V'Shaltem V'Otzer V'Otzchem. That's the Ashgacha. That's the Rav Dagon V'Sirosh. Okay. Well, Rashi's Yitin Mechav, the Yitin, the Yachzav Yitin. That means Kansan Ashgacha, yeah.